In verse 17, amen, the Bible says, "And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Father, a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the exposition of your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, we've been studying the book of Acts, and Peter and John prayed for the man or spoke over the man at the beautiful gate. And he stood up, began to walk and run and leap and praise God. It was a healing. And we talked about the God of miracles. After that, Peter began to rebuke the people, amen, and told them that they killed the Prince of Life. And so we went through all of that and how they desired a murderer and they denied him and they killed him, amen. And so we talked about the Prince of Life. We looked at verse 17, and Peter told us, amen, that, hallelujah, the Hebrews, the Jews, they did it through ignorance. And so that's where we've been. We've been talking about ignorance. And all ignorance is, which was our first point, was a lack of knowledge. We gave a definition of ignorance, and we gave evidence of ignorance. As we look at our world, we can see that man is lacking something, amen, lacking some type of knowledge, and is the knowledge of the holy. We looked at the results of ignorance. When you're ignorant of the divine things, of the things of God, you can miss God. God can be right in your midst, walking in your city, amen, sitting in your house and eating with you. You would miss him if you have some knowledge about him that's missing. Not only that, we talked about the causes of ignorance. Sin, Satan, and every now and then, God will cover the eyes of his people, amen, for a bigger goal. And so we talked about the causes of ignorance. And then we looked at the subjects in which we are ignorant of. And we said, number five, we were ignorant as mankind, man and women, man and woman, we're ignorant of God. And that was a theology ignorance. So we talked about the holiness and the justice and the love of God, just talking about the things the church not really talking about anymore. And then lastly, which was last Sunday, we looked at mankind's ignorance of self. And that has to deal with anthropology. And this was, we talked about man being a sinner, a man not knowing that he needs to be converted. And so you want to get that CD and listen to that, amen, as we talk about ignorance. We'll have one point this morning with like three subpoints. And man is suffering from an ignorance of the judgment, And this has to do with eschatology. And eschatology is just a big word. Eschat means last things, and ology is the study of. And so eschatology is the study of last things. And so man is ignorant of last things, of the judgment. We'll look at three subpoints today. He shall send Jesus, the times of restitution, and shall be destroyed. And we'll talk about the judgment a little bit today. Amen. A lot of the times, church is not talking about it. People don't like to talk about it. Don't even like to read the book of Revelations. Amen. But God put it in that because it's healthy for us. Amen. To read about the judgment. In fact, that's how you can tell the Holy Spirit is present. He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and what? And the judgment to come. It's important to talk about the judgment. So let's begin. Let's talk about, amen, what they say in verse 20, he shall send Jesus. Verse 20 says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. Philadelphian visitors, mankind is ignorant of the judgment. And the particular portion they're ignorant of is the fact that Jesus Christ will be the judge on judgment day. Jesus Christ himself will be the judge on judgment day. Amen. Now, I'm telling you now, that's good news for some, but it's bad news for others. Amen. And Jesus is going to be the judge. And that's what Peter is talking about to the Hebrew people. Amen. In the book of Acts, he's saying, listen, hallelujah, a time is coming and Jesus is going to be coming back. Amen. And he's coming back to judge. And the scriptures corroborate this. As we look at John 5 and 22, amen, the New Testament says, for the Father judgeth no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. This tells us that all judgment, every kind of judgment that will be done, judgment of men, judgment of angels, judgment of believers, judgment of unbelievers, all judgment will belong unto the Son. Jesus Christ is going to judge them all. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of who? Of Christ. You see? And we can just stop right there. We'll come back to that verse in another time. But it's every person. We must all. Every single person. Every individual. We don't go up as a team. He's not standing at the judgment day. Okay, I'm calling up Philadelphia. That's not how it's going to work. He's going to call your name. He's not going to call mom. He's not going to call daddy. And mama's with you at court. She's not going to be with you at this on this court day. Amen. She got her own stuff to worry about. Amen. Mama like, boy, you better get yourself together. That's why I told you to come to church. I told you. 50 years. Don't look at me now. Face forward. Look at him. Look at him. That's how mama going to be. Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, amen, every person is going to be judged. It's going to be judged. You know, every person in Revelation 1:7 tells us even the people who crucified him, even those that pierced him, amen, going to walk up to him. The Bible says every eye shall see him. Even those that pierced him, they're going to walk up. Amen. They put those nails in his hands. They sold him out. Amen. And they're going to have to look at his eyes again and say, boy, I made the greatest mistake I ever made. You know what I'm saying? Acts 10:42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. And to testify that it is he, Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. This means that he's going to judge the living and the dead. When he returns, there's going to be a group of humans that's still alive when he returns. And he's going to judge the living. But not just the living, because some people think, ooh, I'm glad I died before he came. No, 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 no. You can't get away like that. You can get away from a lot of things by dying, but you ain't going to get away from him. They got a lot of people walk in place, they want to shoot everybody else and shoot themselves to get away from the law, get away from the court. There's one court they will never be able to get away from. Amen? Amen? They smile and say, yeah, listen, I done did it and I'm going to get away. You're not going to get away with anything. Anything, friends. Because after you do that and you open your eyes, you're going to be standing before that judgment seat. And the Bible says he was ordained to be the judge of the quick, the living, and the dead. In Acts 17:31, it tells us, because he had appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. There is a judgment day. Amen. And every single day we live, every hour that we spend on earth, every second, it gets closer to that day. Amen. As we look at our watches or we look at our time, amen, it's getting closer. It's a finite day that's fixed on the calendar. You understand what I'm saying? With a date, with a month, a day, and a year. He had appointed a day. Amen. And every day we get closer. Amen. And a lot of people out there wasting their days, playing around. Hallelujah. And that day is coming. Amen. The Bible says he's going to judge the world in righteousness. This tells us that he's going to judge in a right way according to the law. What law? The laws of man? No. He's going to judge us by the laws of God. Amen. And that's a blessing, but it also can be bad news for a lot of people. You see, John 5:30 tells us that it's going to be a just judgment. Jesus says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which had sent me. The judgment of Christ is going to be a just judgment. What does that mean? He's going to get he's going to give every single person what they deserve. When he is done with judgment, nobody going to be able to say anything. Even in hell, they're going to say, thou were righteous, just and true all thy ways. They'll call him faithful and true. Everything he said came to pass. It's not like, hallelujah, those teachers that try to hide the test from you. And you walk in, you done studied everything, and the teacher done put some things on test she ain't told you. Or he ain't told you. Jesus not like that. Jesus gave you listen, this is an open book test. You understand what I'm saying? We in the test right now, and he done sent the book down. It's an open book test. And he letting you know everything that's on the test, amen, and how to make an A. Not just an A, but 100. You understand what I'm saying? He's not trying to hide everything. It's going to be a just judgment. When he sent people to hell, that's what the world don't understand. The world kind of like, oh, he's a mean guy. When he sent people to hell, amen, everybody's going to be like, amen. They deserve to go down there. They deserve to go. People in hell are going to be like, yep. Yep. You see? Oh, yeah. You know? There was a man who committed a crime. And they caught him. And they caught him red-handed. And the police brought him in. They booked him, amen. And his court date came up. And so he was standing before the judge. And while he was standing before the judge, he recognized the judge. And he looked at him and he said, man, I know him. And he remembered that the judge used to be his attorney. The judge had represented him in a previous case and got him off the hook. So he's standing there, he's saying, praise God. I'm going to get out of this one too. Because my lawyer used to be my defense lawyer. And so as the case went forward, amen, he's like, we ain't got nothing to worry about. You know, this lawyer used to defend me. But when that lawyer came down with that, when that judge came down with that gavel and said guilty and sentenced him to prison, he said, wait up. Weren't you my attorney? Didn't you defend me previously? He said, yeah. He said, that's when I was your lawyer. I was assigned and appointed to defend you at that time. I'm not your lawyer no more. I'm your judge. And the same way I did my job as your lawyer, I'm going to do the job as a judge. I will be just. I will be fair. Listen, we in the days where you can have Christ as your lawyer. And you better utilize it. Because the time is going to come when he will be your lawyer no more. He will stand as your judge. And just like he was good at being a savior, he's going to be great as being a judge. Right? And so Jesus is going to be the judge. And that's what Peter's trying to tell him. Now, I'm going to break down judgment a little bit for you. Amen. Because there's going to be two types of judgments. There's going to be a judgment of the saints. And then there's going to be a judgment of the sinners. Amen. I want to talk with you a little bit before we leave this first point about the judgment of the saints. This is usually called the Bema Seat judgment. Somebody say Bema Seat. The Bema Seat judgment. Amen. And this is for the saved, the believers, those that took Christ up on his offer when he say, amen, if you call upon me, amen, in the time in which I may be found, I shall be found of you. When he says, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. When he says, amen, hallelujah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All those that accepted that offer will go to this first judgment seat, which is the judgment of the saints, which we call in seminary the Bema Seat. You need to understand that the Bema Seat happens, those of us who are premillennialists, it happens after the rapture. When God comes back and catches up his church, the world is going to be going through tribulation, but the church is going to be going through the Bema Seat judgment. And that's for those of us who are premillennialists. If you're not, it's no big deal. But there's going to be a judgment of the saints. Just know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 tells us all about the Bema Seat judgment. In that chapter, Paul talks about, listen, we're just going to read it first, and then we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. Paul says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Verse 15 tells us the first thing about the Bema Seat, and I'm going to kind of take it a little bit out of order. The Bema Seat is not the determined salvation. Salvation is determined here on earth. You understand what I'm saying? Salvation is determined here on earth. When you've accepted Christ, listen, it determines that. When you come to the altar, it determines that. The Bema Seat is not going to be sifting out who's saved and who's not saved. The Bema Seat is for the saved. Only the saved going to be up there at the Bema Seat. Amen? And salvation is not the issue. Whether you're going to go to heaven or hell is not the issue. You're already going to heaven. Amen? The Bema Seat is determined. It's to determine what you did for Christ while you was on earth. Amen. It's to judge the saved to see if the life that God gave you, if you used it for him or if you used it for something else. Amen. That's the Bema Seat. And at the Bema Seat, your work's going to be judged. You see, and you can get through the Bema Seat. Amen. And you have done nothing for Christ pretty much. You're going to get into heaven broke and busted. But the last verse says, yet he himself shall be saved. You ain't going to have nothing in heaven. You're going to be living in the projects in heaven. I got to break it down some kind of way so you don't understand. But Pastor, you say it's going to be mansions. Yeah, but it's the mansion, the project mansions. All right. So the Bema Seat is judging our works as Christians. It's actually a reward ceremony. You see, as we go back up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to verse 13. Amen. It tells us this judgment is to determine what you've done for Christ. And it tells us that the fire will determine if what you've done was really for you, for somebody else, or if it was really for Christ. So here's how it's going to work. Everything that you've done on earth is going to be placed on a scale or altar of some sort. And there's going to be some divine fire that's going to look at all your works. All the people that got saved under you, all the things you did when you went to work, the things, everything you did and that you said was for Christ, all the songs you sung, all the ministries you was in, everything you did is going to be placed on an altar or some type of scale, some type of weighing mechanism, and then they're going to put the divine fire on it. The divine fire is going to burn away everything that's not done for Christ. And we're going to have pastors with churches of 20,000 people. And they're going to put that on that. The fire you're going to get on. And they're going to say, you didn't even do that for God. That was just for you. You wanted to be seen. You wanted to be have the accolades. You wanted to be rich. And it's all going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. They got regular folk, amen, that's going to get more rewards than churches with mega pastors. You understand? Mega churches with pastors. You hear me? You hear me? Because it's not about what you do. It's about why you do it. It's about why you do it. That's what the fire you're going to determine. So when you're serving in church, amen, you got to always ask yourself, why am I doing this for the glory of God? Am I in the nursery so that people can sit and hear the word without their children running around, climbing up out three poles up in here? Is it for the glory of God? Only one life that will soon be passed and only was done for Christ will last. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. So the fire is going to judge the motives at the Bema Seat. Amen. And the Bible says after the fire, verse 14 says, if any man's works abide, if it still remains after the fire, amen. Hallelujah. He shall receive a reward. And so the Bible tells us here in verse 14 that there's going to be rewards given out during the Bema Seat judgment. This is the judgment you want to be at, but you want to have done something to get some rewards. I've told you before, amen, especially when I was at MP Moss and wilding out and cutting up, I had been to award and reward ceremonies and got nothing. And I'm sitting there, my mom in there, amen, and I'm saying, Mom, it's coming. They're going to call my name. It's coming. You know what I'm saying? I ain't getting no rewards. Not even a attendance award. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I ain't getting nothing. You know what I'm saying? But so you don't like to sit there while all your peers getting awards and you ain't getting nothing. Now, if you don't like that from a scholastic, academic perspective, now just imagine standing up in heaven with Jesus Christ handing them out and you sitting in it, but you ain't getting nothing. Because you didn't really live for him. You was living for something else. I dare say there's some people here who didn't get no rewards in high school or middle school and in elementary. They didn't have the GPAs. They didn't have all of that type of stuff. They might have even been the janitor at the school, and they watching all the teachers and everybody else get rewards, but they was faithful to Christ. Inviting people to church, praying for people back there, just doing their thing. And listen, that old janitor going to come up. How are they going to call his name? You understand what I'm saying? Janitor Smith, he going to come up. And everybody, I remember him. He was that quiet dude, that janitor. Nobody know. And he didn't even know how to read too good. He didn't know how to write too good. But oh, when they pull out the scroll, amen, of all he's done for Jesus, how many times he prayed, how many times he fasted, how many people he witnessed to, how many people he gave a little extra money to. You see what I'm saying? The Bema seat is going to be a judgment like we don't ever know. We've never seen a judgment like that. You see? It's going to really declare who was actually working for God and who wasn't. There's rewards up there. There's rewards up there. We know there's rewards. The Bible corroborates this in Matthew 5 and 12. Look what it says. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is what? Your reward. And there's rewards in heavens. There's rewards in heaven. You see, the Bible also tells us in Matthew 6:20, hallelujah, that we should store up treasures. Treasures, that's another word for rewards. We should store up treasures in heaven. Meaning that our time here on earth should be an investment. We should be investing in the rewards in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody got to hear me up in here. All right. We got a lot of people just living to be rich and living to be blessed in the here and now. If I could show you an eyedropper and put one drop out that eyedropper, the drop would be the here and now. If I showed you the ocean would be heaven and eternity. We got people living for the drop instead of living for the ocean. They living for the now instead of eternity. Listen, the now is an investment for eternity. We're given the parable in Luke chapter 12, 21 about the rich fool and how he said, I'm going to build up my barns and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. All about me, mine, and I, me. You understand what I'm saying? And the Lord come up to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Now who going to have all the stuff you were storing up? And he tells us in Luke 12, 21, so is he that laid up treasure for himself here on earth, and is not rich toward God. Not rich in heaven. Let me ask you this. I know you got some stuff here on earth, but how your account look in heaven this morning? How your account look in heaven this morning? How you looking, hallelujah, in regards to the Bema seat judgment? What have you done for Jesus lately? That's what that judgment is going to be all about. Now, quickly, listen. Let me talk with you about what kind of rewards they're going to give. Hallelujah. And it ain't going to be no little plaques. The little baseball trophies where all the bats break. You understand what I'm saying? Got a house full of broken bat trophies. Kids like, what is that? What is that? What are you doing? A cat? It's a cabbage patch award? What are you even doing? It's not rewards like that. We will get, amen, in heaven, authority, glory, and crowns. Authority. Remember the parables. He said, listen, you've been faithful with little, and now I'm going to give you much. Now, listen, we hear parables where he said, listen, I'm going to give you 10 cities. It's going to be authority that's given in heaven. Remember, heaven is a kingdom. And when you have a kingdom, you got a king, but you got nobles and authorities and an aristocratic governing body that helps the king oversee his kingdom. Oh, come on, somebody. There's princes, amen. Princes, amen, that help the king. Listen, as we live here on earth, we trying to, listen, God is determining through our life here on earth the authority that's going to be given us in heaven. The authority that's going to be given us in heaven. Woo! If you was faithful with little here. If you was faithful with little here, you'll be faithful with much. Not only authority, but glory. The way you work here is going to affect the way you look in heaven. The Bible says in Daniel 12 that those, amen, who was out there saving souls and bringing people, he said they're going to shine like the stars. Have. There's going to be a different glory given to him or her, amen, based upon what they did here on earth. But the one I'm going to talk about just for a second, amen, and we kind of got to move, they will be given crowns in heaven. Crowns. The Bema Seat is a crowning ceremony. There's going to be crowns handed out. Amen. And I'm telling you, you want to get yourself a crown. 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 Amen. And listen, you're doing good thus far. You're here at church, you're seeking him. And the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. But you want to continue to move up, amen, in your work for him. It's not just about coming to church, but it's about finding out what I can do in church, how I can serve, amen, so that, amen, when he come back, I can say, God, I've worked for you out there and in your church. I did something for you, God. And you want to move up, amen, in that frame of thinking that I'm going to serve for him. So there'll be crowns. Listen, there's five different crowns given at the Bema Seat. You see? Five different crowns. Amen. For the work we do here on earth. There's the incorruptible crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. Amen. And the crown of glory. And if we had time, listen, I had all the scriptures and everything like that, and I wanted to show you, amen, what all of them, what they had in the Bible and what all they mean and stuff like that. But the incorruptible crown is found in 1 Corinthians 9:24, and it's for those who faithfully endure. You endure trouble, trials, temptation, amen, and you just hold on to the Lord. You just hold on. God, I ain't going nowhere. God, you faithfully endure. Amen. You strive. You keep yourself. Amen. And you're just holding on to them. And it's temptation. It's trouble. And you don't sometimes don't even feel like you're going to make it. Amen. And they don't know the devils you got to deal with, the things you got to fight. But you hold on. And God said, listen, keep holding on, and I'm going to give you a crown, an incorruptible crown. Because nobody know what you done been through. They don't know the family you was raised in. They don't know what your mama did and your daddy did. And your uncles and your cousins, they don't know what they put you through. But God says, I know. And I know what you had to fight. I know the disadvantages you had to go through. Amen. Sure, somebody look better than you right now, but they didn't have to start in the negative like you had to start in them. But I see where you started. And even where you came from, you were faithful in that. And I'm going to give you a crown. I'm going to give you an incorruptible crown that faded not. That means after 10 years, that thing's still going to bling. After 20 years, blank. 30 years, blank. 40 years, blank, 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 blank. Shine, shine, shine. All of those who are of a different ethnicity. Bling means we're talking about the polish effect of gold. And that effect will never, never, amen, be worn out on these incorruptible crowns. There's a crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing is the soul winner's crown. Those that share the gospel, invite people to church. You wake up with it on your mind. Listen, who can I lead to Christ? Amen. And you look at Hallelujah Church and people that preach and minister, you say, oh, that's the soul winners for sure. Listen, listen, listen. There's people that wake up every single day and go out on their normal lives that's going to be getting this crown. Amen. Soul winners. Soul winners. There's people in here, amen, they perennial for bringing people into church. I can name them. I can name them. You understand what I'm saying? Soul winners. It's a crown of rejoicing. Because when you walk into heaven as a soul winner, it's called a crown of rejoicing. Because when you get that, so many people going to rejoice. Amen. Because they know that they heard it through you. And when they see you there, they're going to say, there she is. There he is. That's the one who told me about my Savior. That's the one that God used to get me here in this place. It's called a crown of rejoicing. It's called a crown of rejoicing. That's the crown that you want. You don't want to get to heaven, amen, and nobody say that you helped them get there. You want people to be waiting for you. You want people to be waiting for you. And people will wait for the people who helped them get there. Amen. It's going to be announcing at the gates. Amen. Hallelujah. Madison Tebow is coming in. And everybody going to run to the gate. Oh, that's Madison. Man, she helped me out. Everybody's going to wait. And when you walk through the gates, they're going to stand and they're going to cheer. Amen. They're going to say, man, God used her. God used him to get me to this place. And when you stand before your Lord's going to say, bend. And you're going to bend that knee. And you're going to look up. You're going to say, my Lord, I don't deserve it. Bend. My Lord, I'd be in hell if it wasn't for you. Bend. I understand all of that. I understand by the grace of God you are what you are. But listen, you use that grace and you serve more abundantly than them all. And so thou shalt receive a crown of rejoicing. That's the crown of righteousness. Amen. 2 Timothy 3:8, this is all those who love his appearing that wait for him. And they wait faithfully for him. And while the world is waxing worse and worse and standards are changing and this they're saying is right when it used to be wrong, those that love his appearing are waiting. They abiding in the patience of his word. They're not getting caught up, amen, with the signs, amen, the changing of the times, amen. They patiently wait. They love his appearing. Can't wait till he returns. And they're going to receive the crown of righteousness. There's a crown of life in James 1:2 and Revelations 2:10. Which are those who are actually persecuted, like our brothers and sisters, amen, in the Middle Eastern countries right now, and some even those in India, amen. Listen, if you watch some of these videos or things that's going on right now while we speak, how they're cutting their necks off and breaking bones and punching and beating and they're brutalizing. And we think that persecution is not going on. Listen to me. Persecution is happening today more than it happened during the days of Jesus. There are more Christians being persecuted right now around the world, hallelujah, right now, than all of history together, friends. We just in America, we don't see it yet. And all those that's dying, it'll bring you to tears to watch the videos and to hear their testimony, how they're being beaten and bones crushed and arms and broken legs. And I'm talking about, listen, and them people, man, hallelujah, they're saying, I'm not going to let go of Jesus. They can beat me, they can kill me, they can do whatever they want. I am not letting go of Jesus. Amen. And on that day, hallelujah, on that day, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They took your life away from you. Amen. But I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to give you something for that life. I'm going to give you the crown of life. You see, the martyrs. There's also the crown of glory. And the crown of glory, amen, is for those people who were faithful shepherds among the flock of God. And Peter talks about it in Peter 5:4, amen. And he's talking about receiving it himself. Now, the mistake that most people make, they think that just this crown is just for pastors, amen. But if you took the spiritual gifts test, you will know that shepherding is not just for a pastor of a church. But shepherding, amen, is for a person who cares about the life of another person. You can shepherd and pastor people, not in the church, amen, but on a one-on-one basis. It's a discipleship type of thing. And some of y'all, you're shepherding people at work. You have a shepherd's heart. You can't just let people go through and not help them out. You can't know truth and not tell people, amen. So they come to you for advice and they come to you. And listen, you don't have a platform, you don't have a pulpit, but you are a shepherd, my friends. Indeed you are. And so you are helping lead people to Christ and lead them to a better way of life. I know I'm talking to some people here. And there's going to be some people, amen, who don't have a church, don't have a pulpit, and they will get a shepherd's crown. Amen. Even before some pastors will. They're going to get this crown of glory. The crown of glory is a heart after God's people. A heart after people. Where you love people and you just don't want to let them go astray. It's a shepherd's heart. It's a shepherd's heart. You see? And so God says, listen, I'm going to give it. And I'm telling you, man, we have some 12 group leaders that have shepherd's heart. Some ministry leaders, shepherd's hearts. We have some mamas that's raising kids with some shepherd's hearts. We have some neighborhood Bible study, shepherd's hearts. We have people on their job cutting hair with shepherd's hearts. They just at that school with shepherd's hearts. They just love and care for people, man. And God says, listen. I got something for you, man. I got something for you. You're going to receive the crown of glory. You're going to receive the crown of glory. You're going to receive the crown of glory. We're talking about the judgment, y'all, and how Jesus is the judge. And we're talking about, amen, how Jesus is going to have a first judgment, the Bema seat. And I expect to see all of you there. I expect to see all of you there. All right? But not only that, I expect to applaud you as you go up and get crowned and get glory and get rewards. And I'm going to say, that's Manning. That's Manning. I know you call him Quentin by his good name, Lord, but that's Manning to me. And I'm going to cry and I'm going to shout and I'm going to praise God for it. That's what I expect to see. Come on, give God some glory. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal about getting crowns anyway? Shouldn't we just be happy to be there? No. The biggest deal about getting crowns is this. Now, you know that you want to see and hear your daddy appreciate what you do. That's in the world. Your daddy, your mama, you want the pat on the back. Hey, man, good job. Players play for that when they for their coaches on the field. Just a coach will come and say, man, good hit, good tackle. Amen. People on the job do that, man. They come and the boss come and say, man, good job, man. That accolade will get you through another month, another year. Amen. And so if those things mean something to us, a husband that says, you know, good job with that meal, or man, listen, you're doing great. You're helping me out, bringing in money. If those things mean so much to us when it happens amongst ourselves, amen, just imagine the way it's going to feel when the person who brought you into existence, when the God of all creation and all the universe look at you in your eyes and say, well done. I am so proud of you. Amen. You lived it. And you did it for me. You have no idea what that's going to feel like. No idea when you hear that well done. And we do it for that. There's another reason we do it. We labor for rewards and crowns for another reason. The Bible says that we might have something to cast at his feet when we bow down and worship him. Amen. Listen to me. In the book of Revelation chapter 4, we're told about the 24 elders. And they sit in the throne room of God. And they have crowns on their heads. But at a certain point when worship begins, amen, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him. Amen. They just passed me up. Just come on back to it. And worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their what? Their crowns before the throne. Listen, when worship begins, you want to have something to cast down. You want to have something to... Because God, you the reason, and you want to show him his work. Don't be just standing up there with nothing to give him. Wow. Nothing to show. After he gave his life for you, died on that cross for you, and you ain't got nothing to cast down? Oh, I'm working hard as I can here on earth. Oh, I want to cast down crowns, reward, diamond. I'm going to even throw a little dollar on that. God's going to say, them dollars ain't worth nothing. I'm throwing everything down, God, everything. Shoes, everything. Because you're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. This is your word. This is your word. This is your word. So we do it to have something to cast at his feet. You know? So that's the Bema Seat judgment, y'all. That's the Bema Seat judgment. And that's where you want to be. Listen, let's look at our second point quickly. Woo! God have mercy. Time's fast, passing fast. Woo! Second point. The times of restitution. Times of restitution. In Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Let's just stop right there for time's sake. All right, I'm going to just stop reading. Let's just do the second point, restitution. When I was in court, they would use this term a lot, restitution. Restitution was when somebody was caught stealing something, breaking something, or harming someone else. Amen. And when they convicted you for the crime, you not only had to do your time or pay the fine, but you oftentimes had to pay the victim of the crime restitution. Restitution is when you return something that was lost or stolen. You give the car back. You give the jewelry back. That's restitution. Restitution, amen, is when you recompense someone for injury or loss, meaning that you took the car, but you wrecked it, amen, or you went in the house and you broke the windows, amen. But whatever it is to restore the victim of your crime back to where they were is what we call restitution. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, how many people had to pay restitution? I'm joking. Okay, so that's restitution, all right? What mankind is ignorant of is that there is a time of restitution that's coming. Ooh, a time of restitution that's coming. A time in which all lost men will have to return to God that which they have stolen from God and used in a way that God did not intend. A time of restitution is coming when lost men and women will have to stand before a holy God and recompense and repay for all the injury, the loss, the harm they have done to God, His name, and His creation. It's a time of restitution. A time of restitution. And this is the second judgment. The Bema Seat is the judgment of saints. This second judgment is what we call the final judgment. It's the judgment of sinners. In Revelation 20, in verse 11, we're told about this final judgment. The Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose the face of the earth and the heaven fled away." The clouds and the mountains are going to run away from his face. They don't want to have no part to do with him. "And there was found no place for them." They couldn't find a place to hide because everywhere they went, he was. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Somebody say the books. Pastor, what book you're talking about? At this judgment of sinners. Now, the Christians, we won't be there in a party perspective. We're going to be judging with our Savior. We're going to be behind the bar, so to speak. Won't be in front of the bar, we'll be behind it. We're going to be judging with him. And that's where you want to be. You don't want to be in another place. You don't want to be at this judgment. You see? Because the books are going to be open. What books? First book, the book of the works. The book of works. The book of works represents everything that you have ever done, said, or thought on this planet. The book of works. 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad." At this judgment, every single thing you've done while you was in the body that God lent you will be judged, whether it was good or whether it was bad. Romans 2:16 says it like this: "In that day, when God shall judge," he's going to judge what? "Even the secrets of men." Because we got some things that we've done here on earth that nobody know. We got some things that the other person, we done shook hands with them, and they say they're going to take it to their grave. You see? And those things, amen, that we've done, that secret, the God who sees in secret knows, and it's going to be brought up when the books of your works are open. Even when you were young, the world says, "Oh, you're young, go crazy, have fun, sin, cut up." I love what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11:9. He said, go ahead. Like Phil said, you can go. That's how Phil said it. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." He said, Solomon said, do what you want to do. Walk in what you see. Walk in what you feel in your heart. Do whatever you want to do, Solomon says. You're young. Do whatever you want to do. But look what Solomon says. But know thou, know this, that while you're doing whatever you want to do, for all these things, God will bring thee into, even when you're young, even when you're young, even when you're young. And so we out there, we tell our kids in high school, middle school, do what you want, send cutter, do what you want. The devil is a liar. You don't let them do that type of stuff, because they're going to be brought into judgment. The book of the works is going to be open, y'all. But there's another book that will be open. The book of the law. The book of the law is God's word. So he's going to take your life and he's going to put his word right on the side of it. And he's going to see the inconsistencies. My word says thou shalt not bear false witness. Let's look and see how many times you lied. My word said thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't have premarital. My word says no homosexuality. Now let's look at your life. My word says don't put anything before me. I'm the Lord thy God, the Bible says. And God's going to look at your life and see how many things you put before him. God's going to look at his word and say, no idolatry, no statues, no graven images. He's going to look at your life and see if you obeyed that. The books of the works, right on the side, the book of the law. And Jesus says in John 3:18, look what he says. He says, on that day, he really ain't going to have to say nothing. He that believeth on him is not condemned. When we accept him, we don't have to deal with this judgment. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, that's John 3:18. Now, and the Lord had me read that for a reason, but the real one that I want is John 12:48. Look at this. So for those who don't believe, who don't receive him, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words had one that judged him. Jesus said, I ain't really got to say nothing for judgment day. Why? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus said, when I just put my word up on the side of your life, we're going to say, any questions? Any questions? Any questions? And then there's going to be one more book. This is the book of life. The book of life. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life in other places. It's the book of the redeemed. Those who have accepted him. Those who did believe in Christ. Those who did repent. And this is a record of all those who saved. And those in the book of life, amen, will not have to go through their works in the law, amen, because the blood of Jesus will have covered their life. If they had to look at your life, if you saved, amen, in the book of works, amen, Jesus would show up under your name. Righteousness fulfilled completely. If they had to look at the law, amen, and you saved, amen, amen, Jesus would show up. I always obey the things of the Father. I never broke a law. Scripture must be fulfilled, every jot and tittle. Everything. The book of life. The book of life is where you want to be, friends. You want to be saved. You want to be in this book. It's the only way to avoid the great white throne, the final judgment, and God going through all of your dirty laundry in front of all the world of men. Third and final point. Here we go. Shall be destroyed. And Peter goes through 22 and 24 of Acts 3. Pick up with me at verse 22. Let's see. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. And so Moses was saying, another prophet like me is coming. You got to understand, Moses was a testamentary prophet, meaning that with Moses came a new testament. I mean, with Moses came a testament. Moses brought the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and so Moses was a bringer of a testament. He brought the Old Testament. He said, another prophet coming, like me, a testamentary prophet. A prophet that's going to bring, just like I brought a covenant, I brought a testament, another prophet's going to come and he's going to bring a new testament, a new covenant, a new deal, a new relationship. It's going to be a prophet like me. Amen. And just like in the Old Testament, amen, I was the only prophet that brought that deal, amen, in this New Testament, this new prophet is going to be the only prophet that brings this new deal. Not like FDR, but like Jesus Christ. Amen. This new deal. Amen. He says it's going to be another prophet. Now, you got to understand that Jesus is a greater prophet than Moses, though. Because just like the new covenant is better than the old covenant, Jesus is not just another prophet. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king. You understand what I'm saying? He's the greatest prophet because he's the word of God. He's the greatest priest because he gave his life as the Lamb of God that, hallelujah, would take away the sins of the world. He's the greatest king because he's the root of the branch of Jesse. He's the bright and morning star. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He wears the royal diadem. And so Moses said, listen, another one's coming that's greater than me. Another prophet. You see? Moses says here, amen. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say. Listen to him, Moses says. Don't just let him come and you don't listen to him and be saved. Moses says in 23, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear, will not listen, will not obey, will not hearken to that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Shall be destroyed. Listen to me. He says, every soul shall be destroyed. That's a whole different thing. He's not saying everybody. Every person. He says, every soul shall be destroyed. It kind of reminds me of when the Lord said, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. He says he's going to destroy every soul. Now, focus on that word every now for a second. Meaning that every single person who don't listen to him, don't hearken to him, don't accept his gospel, his way of escape, every single one without fail, shall be destroyed. Shall be destroyed. Peter said it like this. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. So every soul that don't accept according to the Bible. Now if you don't believe the Bible, I can't do nothing with you. But if you believe that the Bible is the word of God, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets the Father but by him. So every soul that don't hear him shall be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. You say, well, Pastor, that don't really make no sense. I ain't going to go like that. I'm just going to ask you one question. You want to risk it? You want to roll the dice? You want to gamble? Well, Pastor, we can get in every way. Okay. Take a chance. There's going to be hell to pay if you're wrong. Listen to me. If there was more than one way for me to get in, and I pick Jesus, what home that's going to be? I went ahead, I slid in, woo, and I get down there and say, nah, it's not going to happen, but just hypothetically speak, I can't even say it, but I'm going to say it. But listen. I get in there and they say, oh, other people, you could have got saved through Leroy and McComb and such and such and Vise and Lakeisha and why not? You could have got saved through them. And I tell the Lord, well, at least I'm in. I'll pick one of the right ones. What I'm saying is if I pick Christ and he wasn't the only way, what harm is that? All right, let's flip it. You don't pick Christ. And he is the only way. What harm is that? Woo! The soul shall be destroyed. All right. Listen, let's look at it here. Now I want you to, hallelujah, look at Revelations 20 and 15, right quick. Look what it says. Back to that final judgment. Revelations 20 and verse 15. It tells us, I'm going to read it for you. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you got the book of your works, the book of the law, and the book of life. Now, if you wasn't in the book of life, we know how the book of law and your works going to turn out. So everybody who wasn't in the book of life is what? Is cast into where? The lake of fire. All right? Now, let me give you a few scriptures about what the lake of fire is all about before we go. Revelations 10, 11. It says in Revelations 14:10. Revelations 14:10. It says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever received the mark of his name. These verses tell us a little bit about the lake of fire. In 14:10, you're going to see torment, meaning that hell or the lake of fire is a place of great excruciating pain. We see it's going to be fire and brimstone. It's a place of, amen, a fire which you cannot extinguish. He says you're going to suffer in torment in the lake of fire, which burn with fire and brimstone forever. It means that once you're in, you can't get out. The forever here lets us know that there's no purgatory. There's no type of early release, no probation, no house arrest, home incarceration. It's nothing like that. It's like that old commercial, roaches check in, but they don't check. Yeah. Sinners who refuse Christ check into hell, but they don't ever check out of hell. They burn forever, friends. They burn forever. And the devil is a liar. He knows he's going to be there, so he want to get you there. So he's going to tell you all kind of lies. Well, once you get there, you can leave when you want. So you walk up to the devil, I'm ready now. And we're going to see what he says. Now, as I researched hell, amen, I went to Google and I typed up hell. First thing that come up, Ms. Harvey, Jen, there is no hell. First thing that come up on our media, on our internet, first thing that come up, there is no hell. And they give you a page long full of arguments against hell. All of their arguments, trash. Because people think if they say a lot of things, that somehow you're going to believe them. You can't be like that. You got to look through words. You got to look straight through words. Look through big words and all that stuff. Because people sound good, but they ain't talking about nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I learned that. I get up in debating the ballroom. You know what I'm saying? Ivy League school. They get up and say all kind of big word stuff. And I get up in my hoodology. Get up and say, Judge, he sound good. And he looked good, but he ain't never said nothing, Judge. I mean, California talking like this. He said nothing. I don't care what school he went to. You see what I'm saying? Well, come around here with all of this if you ain't talking about nothing. So they talk about no hell, you know? And people, amen, all over the place is accepting this. Time Magazine, you know? And there's another article, amen. This is a pastor. I used to listen to him all the time. This is a pastor. I used to get his stuff online and everything like that. Then he done went off the deep end. Talking about there's no hell. You know what I'm saying? I used to listen to him all the time. You know? No hell. And so people clowning. They're clowning just like they were in Sodom and Gomorrah before the fire fell. They clowning. They cutting up. They clowning, man. Lot went out there, tried to get his son-in-laws. They thought he was joy. Yeah, fire, brimstone. Just like in the days of Noah, they was clowning. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving into marriage. Meaning that on judgment day, when the Lord returns, they're going to be in the club on Simcoe. Look, don't stop. That's how they was in the days of Noah. They cutting up Running Man and water coming in. They look. Water coming in. It's going to be like the days of Noah. It's going to be like the days of Lot. You see? You got to watch this planet, man. You got to watch this world. They call up, down, and down, up, and they're saying it won't be no judgment day. But just because they don't believe it will be, there will be a judgment day, my friend. Some going to be drunk when judgment comes. Some going to be high when judgment comes. Some going to be on those pills when judgment comes. Some going to be at the little girl house or the little boy house when judgment comes. Some going to be messing with the woman next door when judgment comes. So I'm going to be with a little man in the hotel when judgment comes. But judgment is coming. As a Christian, you don't want to ever be caught in those places. You don't ever be doing any of those things when judgment comes. Lest the day come upon you unawares. He coming like a thief in the night, friends. When judgment comes, no hell. No hell. Revelation 21:8. The fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. That's all people who live in their sin, never got forgiven, never came to Christ. Because we all were in these categories. But if we don't believe and we don't come to Christ, what's going to happen? Shall have their part in where? In the lake which burneth with fire. No hell. No hell, Rob Bell. That's the Bible. Matthew 13:41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. No hell. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. No hell. You must not believe the Bible. And if you don't believe the Bible, fine. I can't do nothing with you. But if you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, Jesus spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. No hell. Matthew 13:49. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you accursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh in Sodom and Gomorrah, are set forth as an example. What did they suffer? Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Luke 16:24, the rich man, he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things. You was balling, wild enough, living in sin, not even worried about God. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. He was living hard, but at least he was a worshiper of the Lord. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. No hell. No hell. How can this happen, Pastor? How can a God so good, a God so loving, send people to a place like hell? Even good people have their limits. That's why it's called long suffering. He's going to suffer long, but the suffering going to stop. That's why I say slow to anger. Amen? He don't get angry quick, but he will get angry. How would he be a just God, a righteous judge, if he don't punish iniquity? And remember, he going to only punish after he open up his arms and say, whoever wants to come and be saved and avoid the punishment, come. The only one that won't come, that's the one that's going to be punished. Listen. That's what salvation is. He said, all right, everybody, judgment's coming. Everybody wants to avoid it. Come on in. And then when judgment comes, People saying, oh, God wrong for that? Oh, he wicked? No, you wicked. You wicked. You love your sin so much, you wouldn't come and be saved. You wouldn't come when he said, why die? When you wouldn't come. No, he's not wicked. You wicked. Just and true all thy ways, O King of Saints. But you love your sin so much. You love to play with women so much, play with men so much, alcohol so much. God going to say, all right, you want that instead of me. All those that want me, come. And come to my heaven. And all those that want the devil and his ways, stay with him. I'm only giving you what you want. Surely, my friend, he came as a lamb, as a savior, as an intercessor. The first time. Second time, he's coming as a lion. He's coming as a judge. And he's coming as an executioner. Revelation says when he's done, the blood shall be to the horse's bridle. In your own time, read 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And it'll tell you how the Lord is coming back with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them who know not God and who obey not the gospel, who will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. No hell? I'm sorry. You're going to be in for a rude awakening. Because our God don't lie. Everything he says is yes and amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much that you are true. We thank you for warning. We thank you for patience. We thank you for love. But Father, we pray for those who won't come to you. Even though you stretch out your hands all day long to a rebellious people, Father, we pray for them. And we ask right now that they would be saved. That they would see your love and your compassion, God. And that they would fear your judgment and that they would be saved. We pray for our young people, our old people. We pray for men, we pray for women. We pray for rich, we pray for poor. We pray for white, black, Latino, Oriental. We pray for all the sons of Adam. And the daughters of Eve, we pray that they might be saved. We know that it is not your will that any should perish, God, but some will still perish still. So we open up the altar, we open up the doors of the church, and we pray, if there be any, that you would send them to this altar to be saved on the spot, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Listen to me, if you're here, amen, and you want to be saved, and you heard the word, and you say, Pastor, there's a question whether I'm saved or not, amen, I want to be in the Lamb's Book of Life for sure, amen, you can come on up to this altar. Also, if you're a Christian, amen, and you've been skating, and you've been playing around, amen, and you need to come and repent of some things, you don't want to be caught when judgment day comes, amen, doing the things that you was doing, amen, you want to come, you want to repent, you want to ask God to forgive you. Amen, and give you the strength, amen, to stop doing the things you were doing. So listen, when the music starts, which is going to start here in a second, the altar is going to be open. Come on in. 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 I can't keep you long because we got to baptize, but I at least want to pray with you, at least for a second. I just want to pray with you for a second. The judgment is real. The judgment is real. Some of you have dreamt about it. Some of you can feel what I'm talking about. Listen to me. God wouldn't lie to you. And he told us in his word that he's not going to let anybody, change his word, add to it, take away from it. So the word is true. Question is, are we going to receive it and believe it? And we're going to escape while there's time? I'm just standing at the fire exit. While the whole world is